Thank you, Cathy. Do sit down, everybody. So we're continuing our lessons from Elijah. This is a bit of a more serious one this week, but that's what life's like, isn't it? Sometimes we have more joyful stories or rousing stories like we had last week, and sometimes we have to look at the tough times in life. So that's what we're looking at today. I wonder what have been low points in your life. It's often when we're hit by the unexpected, when things take a sudden turn. And I know for a lot of us that's been over the last couple of years now, 18 months. But for many of us, it's when we have bereavements, especially when people die suddenly or out of time, people die too young. That's always a really tough time for us. But it can be all sorts of other losses. It can be loss. My parents sadly got divorced when I was about 19, and that was a big loss for me. But I remember losses like I had a very good friend called Judith. We had our children together and they were similar ages. We went to the same church. We ran a women's group together and we spent lots of time in each other's homes. And then she went back to Australia. And I found that quite a big loss because we'd sort of grown up with our kids together and that was hard. There are losses like when we lose a job or we retire. We suddenly have that loss of identity and sense of purpose. And all of us will feel low at different times in our lives. And I think it's really good to read about Jesus. Even he felt that loss. And Cathy's just read, he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He knew what it was like to be in a really hard, hard place. And he was real about it. He was overwhelmed with what he had to face, what God was calling him to do on behalf of humankind, but he went through with it, didn't he? Depression is quite common, and we know this, and it's been made a lot worse by the pandemic, and that's been on the news as well. I did look at the National Statistics Office, and it said around 1 in 5 adults experienced some form of depression early in 2021, and this was an increase it was actually double since before the pandemic. And for some people, that feeling of depression and lowness will get to a point of people feeling suicidal. And I looked on the Samaritan's website, and this is what it says on there. It says, "If you're feeling suicidal now, you may be feeling very alone, lost, frightened, confused. You may be feeling there are no other ways out of your problem, difficulties, worries, feelings, or whatever reason you're contemplating taking your life. It may be that at the moment you are so overcome with feelings, sadness, despair, that you're not able to think clearly about other possibilities, other solutions, other alternatives, other ways of coping." And this is what was happening to Elijah in our reading today. He had returned from this exciting encounter on Mount Carmel where he had seen God defeat the prophets of Baal. He'd been given that superhuman strength. Maybe he'd run on ahead of the chariot all the way back to Jezreel. So he got there before anybody else had arrived back. And he must have been kind of expecting, oh, they're all going to come and it's all going to be great. You know, they're going to be praising God again and it's all going to go back to how it should have been. But of course, that isn't what happened. There was one big obstacle, and that was Queen Jezebel. She hadn't gone to Mount Carmel with everybody else. She stayed back at the palace, but she was absolutely furious when she heard of what had happened. She heard how the gods of Baal had failed that test, how Elijah had proved beyond doubt that Yahweh was God. And she would also have heard about the way that they'd slaughtered all the prophets of Baal. So it should have come as no surprise that she wanted revenge. So the first thing she does is to send this death threat. Oh, I forgot to do my... got to do my slides because I was getting carried away, right? She wanted to send this death threat to Elijah via a messenger. And so one moment you've got Elijah on this real high, having seen the prophets of Baal defeated and filled with hope that Israel's going to be praising God again. And the next thing you've got this messenger delivering this terrible piece of news saying that by this time tomorrow, Elijah's going to be dead and there's nothing he can do to stop it. So he must have felt really terrified and really hopeless. And as he heard the word of that messenger, it was as if he forgot everything that he had learnt through God. The time he had spent being fed by the ravens, the time he'd spent by the brook at Kerith, and the widow and her son, and the way he'd been raised from the dead, and then that experience on Mount Carmel. All of that reality was shattered by fear. And in that moment, that man who'd stood so strong with God went down into that pit of despair. He should have stood his ground, but he panicked and he ran. And he went into the wilderness for a day by himself and he prayed that God would take his life. So why had this deep, hopeless despair taken hold of Elijah? Was it just caused by Jezebel, or was it caused by something else? I wonder whether Elijah was actually deeply disappointed, maybe deeply disappointed in God. When great hopes and dreams are shattered, our depression can take hold really easily. And some of you will know this. Some of you will have definitely experienced the pain of depression. Elijah had had that hope that Israel was going to return to God. Despite the tough times that he'd been through, he'd seen that amazing experience. But he hadn't reckoned on Queen Jezebel. She just was not going to change. And he felt like everything that he'd done had been for nothing. It had all been wasted. He felt let down. I wonder if you've ever felt let down. The truth is, there are times when I think we do feel that God lets us down, when we don't see our prayers answered the way that we want them answered. We hope for a miracle. We pray for a miracle. We want to see God at work. We have a plan A. We want God to respond to our plan A. But when plan A doesn't materialize, sometimes we have to settle for plan B. And Elijah was a plan A man. He had read and rehearsed and prayed and fasted, and he knew that plan inside out. God was going to lead Ahab and Jezebel to repentance, and then the whole nation would kind of come back to God. But then that didn't happen. And it was plan B. Elijah didn't understand that God had another plan, a plan B. And I think if maybe he'd stood around long enough or waited or prayed, perhaps God would have told him. But in that moment, he was just filled with that deep despair and fear. And when he got that death threat, he ran for his life. The temptation can be to run from God when things don't make sense to us. I know that for myself. I think the thing we have to do at that moment is to trust. And trust is about clinging on with our fingertips. It's hard, isn't it? Trusting that God will hold us and calling out to God in those moments of despair. I think this verse from this psalm is very good. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Sometimes we have to say that through gritted teeth, a bit like an act of the will, because it's not how we're feeling in the moment. We can feel depression, we can feel despair. It's holding on to God and trusting that there is a plan B, even when all we can see is frustration that we're not getting our plan A met. But Elijah just wasn't in that place at that time. He lets out this cry to God. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And he repeats this speech twice in the presence of God. He wants God to understand how he feels. He's being very honest, but he's also perhaps allowing some self-pity to cloud his perception. He has been very zealous for God, but not all the Israelites are putting the prophets to death. It's actually really just Jezebel who's wanting to get at him. And he isn't the only one left, because we're told there are still 7,000 faithful Israelites who are faithful to God. But self-pity has blurred his ability to see things clearly. And it does, doesn't it? When we're in a low place, we can feel like the whole world is against us. That's just the place we're in. It's very hard to see out and see something positive when things are going wrong for us. And we do become prone to exaggerate, or maybe to just get too low, we can't see over the parapet. But it's lovely what God does in that moment, isn't it? He doesn't forget Elijah. He comes to him and he sends an angel to bring him some breakfast. And this is a real picture of God's tender care and his practical care. Elijah needed the power of the Holy Spirit to flood his life afresh, but he also needed some food and some water. And after this, then we've just read that Elijah traveled for 40 more days and 40 more nights, and he's still struggling with those same thoughts. He wasn't suddenly, depression didn't suddenly lift as soon as he had the meal from God. Actually, he still felt that pain and that loss and that rejection. But God was with him, caring for him. And I think it's the same for us. We know that if we get to a place of lowness and depression, it doesn't lift overnight. But if we can hang on and recognise that God is walking with us, then we will walk through it. As Elijah journeyed towards Horeb, he had not recovered from his emotional valley that he was in, but he was moving. Sometimes that's enough. Just beginning that process of moving is enough. So I don't know what kind of place you're all in today. Hopefully lots of you are in a really great place, but some of you might be feeling low. Some of you might be feeling like you're hanging on by your fingertips. Sometimes when we're in that place, all that we can do is by an act of the will, choose to trust God. Let's just pray now. Father God, I thank you that you walk with us. You walk with us when we're up on cloud nine and all is looking great. And you walk with us when we hit the real lows in life, when we don't see our prayers answered, or when we suffer huge losses. Father, I pray that you would give us that strength and determination to choose to trust you, even when we can't understand what plan B will look like. I also pray, Lord, that you would make us those who look out for and care for others and walk alongside them as you would do when they're going through those dark places. And we thank you, Lord, that your son Jesus knew what it was like to live on earth, to walk through hard times, to feel that sorrow that overwhelmed him. And because we know that you knew what it was like to feel that, we know that you understand, and we thank you so much for that. Amen.